we're going to read from Psalm 46, one of my absolute favorite passages, one that I've memorized from a long time ago, but I'm going to read it today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though its mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, I want to say a quick prayer here in a second, but you probably heard me breathe heavy a couple times there. When that word Selah comes, if you didn't know this already, it's kind of an untranslatable word, but it kind of means take a deep breath and like soak it in. It means like this is powerful. This is a moment to pause and just give thanks. And so whenever you see that, that's what that means. Let's do that. Let's take pause. Take a deep breath and give thanks to God. Let's pray. Dear God, be with us today. Help us to see you. Help us to know you. God, I pray that you would speak to me, that you would speak through me, and if need be, Lord, that you would speak in spite of me today, that we might hear what you have to say, that we might hear your word and give thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I just want to do a quick show of hands. How many of you, when you saw this title, We Are Not Alone, how many of you thought it was a sermon about aliens? Yeah. I get it. It's a thing. We're not alone. There are 1.9 million people who have signed up. Have you heard about this? 1.9 million people have signed up to Storm Area 51. Because they think they're going to find aliens there. So there are three things that I want to say about that today. One, I am not one of those 1.9 million people. Two, those people are going to get arrested. And three, this is not a sermon about aliens. That's not what we're going to preach about today. But it is a sermon about alienation. It's a sermon about that experience of being alone, an experience that we all have from time to time, and it's experience that I think has just gives us some just great anxiety and fear. And I know that you've, for the last couple of weeks, have been in a sermon series about hope and comfort, and those are things that are really close to my heart. Obviously, hope is what I do. But I thought about hope and comfort, and I thought, okay, what takes away hope and what makes people uncomfortable? And one of the things for me, I don't know about you, but one of the things for me, and I think for a lot of people, that takes away hope and takes away comfort is being alone. Now, I know some of you are like, please give me some time alone. Though you may be called a parent or an introvert, one of those two. And that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about that time of being alone, of being in solitude, of being with God. Those are important things. What I'm talking about is being lonely, that fear that no one knows what you're going through, that fear that there's no one there to hear your cry, that fear that in the middle of the night when nobody knows, that fear of, will anybody ever be with me? Will anybody ever know what I'm going through? Friends, I think there are far too many people that have that fear on a regular basis. And sometimes that fear that becomes debilitating. It lends people to be so weak, so vulnerable that it causes them to decide to end their life. They are afraid that no one knows what they're going through. And there are others who, far more than that, that choose to be in a bad relationship just so they're not alone. They choose to be with people they shouldn't be with just so they're not with nobody. And so it leads to bad relationships, abusive relationships. It leads to people being part of groups that they shouldn't be a part of, bad groups of friends, gangs, all of that. I think part of that is just so people aren't alone, that they're not left abandoned. And it leads people to make bad decisions. And friends, if you're in a place that you're feeling that way, but it may not be that extreme, it may be less than that, it still is something that contributes to depression and doubts, and it makes it difficult for us on a daily basis to go to work and be at home. All of these things are difficult if you have this fear that no one will ever understand, that no one is there for me. And that fear is the opposite of hope. And friends, I'm here to tell you that fear is getting worse. There have actually been some studies that the people have done about how many people that are in people's lives that they can trust, that they can confide in. And in 1985, they did a study of this, and they asked people, tell me how many people in your life can you trust? If you have something that you need to tell somebody, how many people can you trust? Can you really confide in? And in 1985, most often people said they had three people that they could trust and confide in. In 2004, they asked the same questions. How many people do you trust? How many people can you confide in? Just 29 years later, do you know what the most common answer was? Zero. 1985, we said three. 2004, it was zero. Friends, there are more people on the planet than ever before. There are more ways to connect with people than ever before through social media and so many other things. But never before have as many people felt alone as they feel right now. And friends, if that's you today, if you're in that place today, I want you to know that is not God's plan for this world. That's not the way that God created us to be. That's not the way God intended for this world to work. In fact, all it takes is just barely opening the book, barely opening the pages of Scripture to Genesis 2. And God says it's not good for the man to be alone. And Eve comes into the world. And I think it was not good for Adam and Eve to be alone. And so it tells us in Genesis 3 that God liked to walk with them in the cool of the day. God didn't leave Adam and Eve alone to do what they want to do. God wanted to walk with them in the cool of the day. And that story just continues. When the Hebrew people were enslaved in Egypt, they felt all alone. They cried out to God, and God heard their cry. And not only did God hear their cry, God led them out of Egypt. And God didn't leave them alone in the wilderness. But Exodus tells us that God was with them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When David was in the wilderness running from Saul, he was not alone, but God was with him. When Elijah in 1 Kings was in the wilderness, he didn't hear God in the earthquake. He didn't hear God in the rushing wind. He heard God in a still, small voice. God was with him, even in the midst of the wilderness. When the Hebrew people felt all alone, when they were abandoned and in exile, when they were taken far away from their homeland and the temple of God was destroyed, they felt alone. They weren't sure if God heard them. And yet some of them still believed, and they faced death for that belief. In the book of Daniel, we read about these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who faced death because of their belief, and they were put into a fiery furnace. They were put into the fire. But were they alone in the fire? No, there was another in the fire. When Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, he saw four Not just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but there was a God-like figure. God was with them, even in the fire. And we don't turn too long into the New Testament when God reminds us that God is still with us. In fact, after going through the genealogy of Jesus, going back into the past, Matthew tells us what Jesus' name will be. And Matthew 1:23 says, "He shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. I just want to take a pause in this journey through Scripture for you, with you, to stop in this place and talk about how powerful that is. This idea that the God of the universe, the God of creation, is with us. Friends, I know that so often in our church we focus on the cross, and rightfully so. It is the gift of salvation. It's the gift that helps us to see new life and to know the hope of a new day. But friends, I want you to know that gift started in the manger in Bethlehem. I know it's July, it's not Christmas, but we can celebrate Christmas in July a little bit. But that gift in the manger is the gift of new life. It's the gift of hope. It's the God of creation wanting to be with us. John says it's a little bit different in 1:14 in the Message translation. He says that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. It's awesome. God is with us. Emmanuel, the gift of life and hope and salvation and joy, is with us. Now, Matthew starts his gospel with that message, but he also finishes his gospel with that message. The great promise of the Great Commission in Matthew 28 is, "For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Friends, God is with us. And John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, the person who gave our movement life, he said in his dying words, the last words he gave, his last sermon, his last lesson, his dying words were, "The best of all is God is with us." The most powerful gift we can imagine is that the Lord of creation will not leave us or forsake us. That God became flesh and blood and became one of us. He came to be with us. That we can never be alone because God is there with us. That's the best of all on John Wesley's deathbed, or for us when we're lying in bed wondering if it's ever going to get better. God is with us. That's the best of all. And yet, we still wonder. We still doubt. We still feel alone in the darkness. We still lie there at night wondering if the sun is going to come up in the morning. We feel all alone. And yet, in the midst of that, we need to know powerfully that God is with us. And that's where this psalm comes in. Right in the middle of that story, this psalm comes in and reminds us that even when the world is going to pieces, God is there. That's the message of this psalm. If you heard it, it said that the earth will change, the mountains will shake in the heart of the sea, the waters will roar and foam, the mountains will tremble with its tumult. Friends, it's talking about natural disasters, earthquakes and tsunamis and tornadoes and floods. We know about floods, fire, right? In all of these things, the world seems like it's falling apart. And what does the psalm tell us in the midst of that? God is with us. God is with us. Even when the earth shakes, even when the flood comes, God is there. Friends, note, it doesn't promise us that the earthquakes aren't going to come. It doesn't tell us that life is just going to be easy. What it says is that God is with us and God is in control. God takes the roaring of those waters and turns the tsunami into a stream that makes glad the city of God. God is the God of the universe who's in control of the earth and the mountains and the stream and the waters, can be in control and be in charge of our lives. And it's not just earthquakes that happen, right? Sometimes other people happen to us. Sometimes politics happen to us. And the psalmist knows that too. It says the nations are in uproar. The kingdoms totter. There's wars and rumors of wars. And what does God do? He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God is in control of those things too. When our political safety nets fail, God is there with us. Now, friends, some of you may already know this, but I want to give you a little bit of a seminary trick for you. Are you ready for this? Ready to learn a little piece of what I learned in seminary? When you're reading the Bible, sometimes it can be hard to understand what God's really trying to say, right? Can I get an amen there? Amen. So when you're reading the Bible and something repeats, you should pay attention. That's really important. There are a lot of words in the Bible, but when those words are repeated, those are things that we should pay attention to. And what word is repeated in this passage over and over again? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That when everything seems to be falling apart, God is there. God is with us. We are not alone. Friends, some of you may be sitting here today and saying, Jeff, that's all well and good. I'm doing fine. I don't really feel alone. Well, others around you may, but what I want to say is that God's speaking to you as well. If you're not feeling alone today, God's speaking to you as well, because here's the thing. We are part of God's plan for people to not feel alone. You saw it powerfully in that video, right? It wasn't the angels coming out and letting those people who were hurting know that they were not alone. It was other people holding the light, bringing it to them in the midst of their darkness. That we are part of God's plan to let people know that they are not alone. So God, I mean, you just take another look through Scripture. Jesus didn't call the individual disciples to go out into their individual caves and be hermits, right? God called the disciples to be together. And he never sent them out on their own. He sent them out two by two. We are not called to do this work on our own. We are called to be with others. In fact, Jesus says that when even one of the 100 sheep feels abandoned, gets lost, goes into the wilderness, that the good shepherd goes out to that sheep. And Paul, picking up on that same trend, that same line, says when he's talking about the church, the body of Christ, he says, when one member celebrates, we all celebrate together. And when one member suffers, we all suffer together. When even one sheep feels lost, when even one of us feels lonely, when even one of us is afraid and alone in the middle of the night in darkness, we go to them and let them know they are not alone. They're not alone. When I was a brand new pastor, I was pastoring a church and I had really not even done a funeral before, and one of my members, one of the people at the church, passed away kind of suddenly, tragically. And I didn't really know what to say. I had not experienced that myself personally. And so I called my Uncle Steve, and he had gone through a deep and tragic loss, a sudden loss of my aunt. And I said, Steve, what was most helpful for you in that time? He said, well, I got stacks of cards. People told me that she was in a better place and tried to explain all these things, and those weren't helpful. He said, you know what the most helpful card was? My friend said, I'm here. All of the stacks of cards, the card that spoke to him the most was, I'm here. Friends, we call it the ministry of presence. You can call it fancy words, whatever it is. It's just being there for people. Being with them in their time of need, letting them know that you're there. Letting them know that God is with them and that you're with them too. We are part of God's plan to respond to the hurting and the folks who have a need in our world. And in a great sense, that's what we do at Restore Hope. Obviously, we help people with food. We gave out 250,000 pounds of food last year. We help people prevent homelessness. We kept over 1,000 people from being homeless last year. We're about to help 2,500 kids with school supplies. You know the best gift we give, though? The best gift that we can give is to let people know that they're not alone. To let people know that we are there with them. Because, friends, the people who come to Restore Hope, and Jim and Steve can attest to this, the people who come, they have deep questions. They feel like nobody understands their pain, that nobody understands where they've been and what they're going through, that even God doesn't hear them. The people who come to Restore Hope are at their wits' ends, and they feel all alone, and all they need is that hope. I mean, they're there for food, but what they really need is hope that they're not alone. And the best thing that we can give to them is that presence to just be there with them. If we can embody the presence of God for them in just that moment, it's the best thing we can do. So friends, I don't know where you are today. You may be sitting here in this crowd of people, and you may feel all alone. You may be here today, and the people around you don't know that you dread going home, because here you're surrounded by people, and at home you're not. If that's you today, I want you to know you're not alone. That there are others here in this room who feel the same way, but also you are not alone because God is here with you. We are here with you. And if you're here today and you say, I want to be with those people, I want to be with people who feel alone, then amen. It's what you're called to do. Because friends, when the world is falling apart, when everything is falling apart, it's not going to be Facebook and Instagram that builds those trusted connections. It's going to be you. It's going to be me. It's going to be God with us. And friends, that's the best of all. That the God who created the planets, the God who created me and created you, that God created us to be together. And that God is with us. Friends, that's the best of all. That we are not alone. That God is with us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's my prayer. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, thank you for this word, Emmanuel. God with us. Thank you for moving into our neighborhood, for becoming one of us and feeling our pain, feeling our struggle. Thank you for letting us know that there's another in the fire standing next to me. So that God, when we doubt, when we wonder if anyone is there with us, we can know that you are there. And thank you for your promise. Help us to be people of your promise. To go bring light to those who are in darkness, your light, so that we would know that we're not alone and that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.